Welcome to a new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. I'm Lights Camera Jackson. Thank you for listening. We are roaring in here talking all things Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, the new Netflix, DreamWorks, Universal animated series premiering this Friday, September 18th on Netflix, 8 episodes. Joining me right now is the 5-time Emmy-nominated executive producer and showrunner, Scott Kremer. Scott, welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Jackson.
You are welcome, sir. Let's get right into it. What was the initial inspiration for wanting to add an animated series to this franchise that's been beloved by so many for several decades?
Well, I think initially the idea was we've always seen the kids in these films as the side characters in desperate need of rescue by Dr. Grant or Owen Grady or another adult. And so the idea behind this is, what if we put those kids front and center with no one to rescue themselves but each other?
And you make it happen. Yeah, you definitely do. You make it happen. I watched the first couple episodes of the show. It is fun. It is exciting. And I think the new generation is going to get into it, like the older generations who grew up with it. And one of the cool moments of it is in the first episode, you have the John Williams iconic theme music while the kids are ziplining above the dinosaurs. How cool was that to incorporate that music into that scene?
Oh, it's everything. You know, I mean, Jurassic, without that score, it's just not the same. So, yes, the first time I saw it, I got chills, and it's so important, it's so iconic. It sets the tone for what we're trying to achieve here with the entire series.
Yeah, and how much studying of the classic movies went into the animation and the visuals for the show?
Well, a lot, and not just that, but as far as storytelling goes, as far as pacing, you know, a lot of cartoons today, they move very fast, and you know, trying to keep this new generation of kids engaged, and we really wanted to sit in some of those moments, really just let them breathe. So a lot of that comes from all the films, really. We really were trying to take just a really cinematic approach to this, as well as the storytelling. We just didn't want to rush through things. We wanted to just kind of sit in Jurassic World, Jurassic Park, just the feelings that gave all of us when we first saw the film.
Yeah, I agree with that in watching the first couple episodes, that you take your time. It's still all great, but you definitely take your time with it, especially the second episode when the kids go into the lab area. We get a lot of different aspects of that, and I like the sort of gradual nature of that because we want to learn what's going on in these labs. We want to know what's happening, so that's really good.
Yeah, like I said, we really wanted to make sure that we weren't rushing through anything. If we want the audience to feel the joy or the laughter or the horror, whatever it may be, we just didn't want to give any particular moment short shrift and really just lean into the cinematic nature of all the films.
Mm. And in thinking back to the first time you saw Jurassic Park, or even the first time you saw Jurassic World 5 years ago when it came out, were there things you remember in watching those movies that you were like, oh, now in taking on this project, I definitely want to, you know, incorporate this, or I've always wanted to see this in the park, so I want to make sure we get this into the show?
Going back to Jurassic Park, you know, I mean, who can forget the introduction to the T-Rex? And talk about taking your time and the building dread with the footsteps and the water rippling. And, you know, so wherever possible, I definitely, the whole team definitely wanted to imbue that sort of thing in there. And then when it comes to Jurassic World and knowing that our story is taking place along the same timeline, you know, there was some amazing stuff there and some amazing thrills with the dinosaurs. And, you know, we really poured over that film as far as weaving our story within it, so we weren't breaking any continuity, but yet we were coming upon some iconic things that took place in the film that we could interweave our characters into that.
And I've always wondered in watching these Jurassic movies, do you, and now with the show, do you bring in dino experts? Do you bring in people who really know their stuff to help you with all the details?
Well, I will say very early on, the writing room, they're very brilliant writers, and myself and our brilliant story editor, Josie Campbell, we did go down to the Museum of Natural History and pored over the dinosaurs. DreamWorks also had brought in people from the Natural History Museum here in Los Angeles, and they had I want to say almost like puppets, but they were just showing the different ways that they act and they move. Mm. So we definitely have done a lot of research. And then when you talk about the design, we did start with the ILM models of the dinosaurs. But those are so vast and such big files, we had to simplify them to work in a television pipeline. Mm. But at the end of the day, a lot of research has gone in, whether it be on the design side or the story side, to really kind of get involved and really look at these dinosaurs as animals and not monsters.
Mm. That's good. Yeah, the details always count, and fans will be able to really appreciate that. And I think fans already, when the news first came out that this show, Camp Cretaceous, was happening, were so thrilled that Steven Spielberg and Frank Marshall and Jurassic World director Colin Trevorrow are all executive producers on this series. How was it for you working with them, and what kind of value did they see in having this show be a part of the legacy?
It's an honor, and it's we were very lucky to have their input. Colin especially has been super hands-on. He has been in our writer's room a number of times. Also, we've talked to him virtually because he's based in England. But whether it's reading every outline, script, looking at every design, Colin has really been hands-on the whole way through. When Steven gave his blessing for the project, his only marching orders were don't do the kiddie version. So we've really... really tried to lean into that, and we were very lucky to spend some time with him right before quarantine hit. He came to DreamWorks and kind of talked to everybody at the studio, and then we got about an hour with him just to walk him through what we're doing. And, getting his seal of approval and him asking great questions about the characters as well as the production side was fantastic. And, and also getting to spend time in the input of a legend like Frank Marshall, who also weighs in on our stories as well. It's an embarrassment of riches. Nobody knows Jurassic like these guys do, but also they're all master storytellers. Mm-hmm. And it's just been an embarrassment of riches. And I just want to add, not only they bring all that to it, but they also gave us the freedom and were very clear that they wanted us to tell the story that we wanted to tell. It's been great.
That's great to hear. That day with Spielberg at DreamWorks sounds like an unbelievable one. Wow. Scott Creamer, executive producer and showrunner of Camp Cretaceous, the new Jurassic World series, is joining me right here, right now on the LCJ Q&A podcast. Were there storylines, characters, any elements off limits because of what's happening with Jurassic World Dominion, the new live-action movie?
Well, another good thing to have Colin involved is that we were able to get a sneak preview of things that were happening in Dominion. So, yeah, there were certain things that we had in mind that were perhaps either stepping on something that was going to be coming, whether it was using a specific dinosaur or a specific storyline or specific characters. So, there were some constraints, but nothing crazy. We were able to pivot, but if having Colin involved and, who's also the guy who's writing the script for Dominion, as he was doing during while we were in production, while we're producing this show, has been incredibly helpful.
That's good. That's good. And now, Jurassic World Dominion, it's been in the headlines for several months now because of COVID-19 and the quarantine and the shutdown. It's been one of the big movies that has been filming on and off through all of this. Have you personally heard from Colin or anybody on that crew about how things were going, their kind of firsthand experiences with trying to make this new Jurassic amidst all of this.
You know, I spoke to Colin right before they went back into production, and, you know, it's just, I haven't spoken to him since. I know things are moving forward as well as they can. I wish I had some inside scoop for you there. They're pressing on. There you go.
Yeah, they are. No, that's good. Yeah. I'm glad that's happening. Everything's safely happening with the production of this animated show as well, which we're all looking forward to checking out on the 18th. I want to switch gears for just a second here, Scott. You were a co-producer on many of the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards that I watched when I was younger. And I've always kind of wanted to know what the most challenging aspect of putting those together is. Is it the celebs? Is it the voting process? Or is it organizing all that slime?
Well, wow, I wasn't expecting to go here. My job as co-producer was I was basically one of the writers on the show. So a lot of it had to do with celebrity availability, who was willing to get slimed. I was lucky that one of my jobs was during the show. We had like a practice teleprompter in the back, so I would get to, as I call them, get the famouses together and run their lines and make adjustments on the fly if we had to. I guess dealing with the celebrities was the best part, and sometimes the worst, but no one was really mean or anything like that. But, yeah, and just logistically putting the crazy slime effects into effect. Those were some fun times. It was always great because I was always writing cartoons year-round, and it was one week out of the year where it was not like any other week, and it was so stressful because it was live TV, but so much fun. So much fun.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, some of the most iconic, family entertainment programs of the last 10, 20 years have been these Kids' Choice Awards and sliming all these celebs, which will be GIFs and memes for eternity. So thank you for providing us with some of that. As we wrap things up here on the LCJ Q&A, Scott, has it honestly sunk in yet for you that you're providing this new Jurassic World show not only for kids to enjoy, but also these adults who grew up in the 90s who can now, through this, relive their childhood?
Well, we definitely set out to make a product that people could enjoy of all ages. You know, we didn't pull the punches on the scares. We tried to hit some, tell a story that everyone would enjoy. So, yeah, I'm ready for it to be out in the world. I'm excited about that. It's been a long process. We put a lot of time, a lot of care, a lot of love into this. I'm ready for it to be out there, and fingers crossed that people end up liking it and loving it as much as we do.
I think they will. This Friday, September 18th, 8 episodes, Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous from DreamWorks and Universal on Netflix. Scott Creamer, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A today. Congrats on this and best wishes to you.
Hey, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. And best you and everybody stay safe out there.
Absolutely. Stay safe. And thank you for listening to this episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. For more, go to lights-camera-jackson.com and follow me on Twitter at LCJ Reviews and Instagram at LightsCamJackson.